It gives me great skos to be able to be the person to introduce Magichir. Everybody's welcome to the CBY Base Medrash program. Rabbi Tarragon is world renowned for not only his Sabbatus Torah, being Rosh Yeshiva, being a Malamed, but caring about every Jew in Klal Yisrael. Personally, I've seen over the decades, having interacted with him, the sensitivity to every person in Klal Yisrael, but always in a framework in Torah. And the way he persona is outside is the persona inside. And it's a great source for us to hear Divrei Torah in Man Elo from Rabbi Tarragon, the Kavod Gadol.
It's an honor to be introduced by you and to get to learn with you. So I'm here for a wedding, one of our alumni from the community here, Gilad Felsen. I figured as long as I'm here, we might as well learn a little Torah. If I can't be teaching Torah in Yeshiva, there's definitely wonderful Jews here in Teaneck who we can learn with as well. But I checked in last night. The stewardess said there's a mistake because your return flight is today. I said, I know. She looked at me like, so I'm happy that I'm able to learn with you here. And big yishar koach to Henry for all of his efforts here with the learning, and to Danny Sachs, who also was involved, the two people I spoke to about this year. And wonderful to learn with all of you, friends, alumni, talmidim, people I've met in different places. It's great to learn together. Without further ado, let's speak a little bit about Chodesh Elul. Chodesh Elul is an amorphic concept. People know it's supposed to mean something, but I don't know if people can really define it. We know there's a concept of tshuva, but for that we have the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. What's Elul? What are we supposed to be doing in Elul? What's the avoda of Elul? It's hard also to define, because on Yomim Tovim we have halachos, you have sukkah, so you have the Dalet Minim, sitting in the sukkah, Simchas Beis HaShoeva, so you can talk about that, and through that you understand sukkahs. Rosh Hashanah, we have the shofar. We think there are halachot. There are no halachot of Elul. So how do we arrive at an appreciation of what we're meant to be doing? I think the answer is we look at the minhagim. Minhagim are a different way at arriving at the essence of something than halachot, and to a certain extent it helps us better appreciate what we're meant to be feeling, because minhagim are expressions of what people are feeling. That's where minhagim come from. People start doing things to express their feelings, and the proper minhagim get reinforced and get instituted. And what we have in Elul are minhagim. If we take a look at the top of page 1, we notice there's a difference between the Sephardic minhagim and the Ashkenazic minhagim. Maybe we know this from our own experiences. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Nogim lakum ba'ashmoret lomer slichot v'tachanunim me rosh chodesh Elul v'elech ad yom ha-kippurim. The Sephardic minhag of slichot creates a continuum from rosh chodesh Elul through Yom Kippur. That's one view of Elul. Elul is about the continuum straight up to Yom Kippur. And the truth is, we have a custom that's like this, that creates a continuum, not slichot. Ashkenazim, of course, don't say slichot the whole month. It's the time when we get paid back for not eating rice on Pesach, right, as everybody knows. But we have a different minhag that creates a continuum. What minhag do we have that begins in Elul and goes straight through Yom Kippur? Saying the Dovid Hashem. The shofar ends on Rosh Hashanah. Right? Saying the Dovid Hashem. If you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah Ot Bet, and it's not coincidental that he comments on the Shulchan Aruch's line, on the continuum of the Shulchan Aruch, Mirosh Chodesh Elul Ve'elach Ad Yom HaKippurim, says the Mishnah Berurah, V'nogim B'medinatenu, B'medinotenu, in our countries, we don't say the Slichot this way. Right? Mirosh Chodesh Elul Ad Yom HaKippurim, Lomer B'chol Yom Achar Gmar HaTfila, the Mizmarav L'David Hashem Ori V'yishi Boker Barav. What we have is the saying of L'David Hashem. We'll talk about the Shofar also. The saying of L'David Hashem is one of the two core minhagim of Elul that Ashkenazim have as well, Sephardim also have it. And I think if we look at it, we can gain an appreciation of what the Avodah of Elul is. I don't know how well people know and appreciate this Mizmor, but let's begin by taking a look at it. And I want to point out a few different important points. First, the Mizmor declares, Hashem Ori V'yishi, God is my light and my Savior. And that light and Savior expresses itself in the next psukim of being someone I can trust in, and therefore I don't fear. The beginning of this mizmor sounds like one about bitachon, and about being able to face enemies and challenges. That's the first three psukim. Pasuk Dalet begins speaking about what we need to do. The first three psukim talk about who God is. Pasuk Dalet. Achat sha'alti me'et Hashem, ota avakesh. I don't know if anyone has ever noticed the fact that we shift in two ways in this pasuk, from past tense to future tense. Achat sha'alti me'et Hashem, ota avakesh, and from she'ela to bakasha. What's the difference between a she'ela and a bakasha? A she'ela is a request that you make of someone else. A bakasha, bikush, is something you seek yourself. And the goal here is that if we ask for something enough, it becomes important enough to us that we seek it personally. Yecheskel Weinfeld explains this idea beautifully on the bottom of page 1, based on the Sefer HaChinuch's famous idea of how we act in ways to internalize feelings. We ask Hashem to give us this sense of Shifti B'Veit Hashem, and if we ask enough for it in the past, eventually it turns into something we seek in the future. So the first thing we're seeing about this Mizmor, about our Avoda, the first thing we see about Elul, and we'll see how many times it's reinforced, is the request turned into seeking, something we want for ourselves. And we see this idea before we turn over to page 2, and how many times the word bakasha appears in the continuation of this Mizmor. Let's look particularly at Pasuk Chet, where it appears twice. L'cha amar libi bakshu fanai et panecha Hashem avakesh. It definitely is fair to say that this Mizmor is highlighting bakasha, bikush, seeking. If we look at page 2, we know that this is a central aspect of tshuva in general, not just in Elul. The first parsha of tshuva in the Torah, Dvarim Perek Dalid, Uvikashtem misham et Hashem Elokecha. We read this on Tisha B'Av, Ki Tolad Banim Ibnei Vanim. We veer off, there's Avodah Zarah, there's punishment, galus. Uvikashtem misham et Hashem Elokecha. The turning point is when we seek God. And the pasuk continues and uses two more important words. Umatzata bo ki tidrashenu. You'll find him when you're doreshim. Another version of seeking. And of course, these two words we're familiar with from the Nevuah of Yeshayahu that we read on every Tanis at Mincha. Dirshu Hashem bihi matza'o. Umatzata ki tidrashenu. Clearly, Yeshayahu is building off of the pasuk in Sefer Dvarim. And this has a strong connection, this seeking, with Elul. Because the word Elul means to search. How do we know? The Targum Unkelus on the Pasuk in Bamidbar Perikud Gimel, where the Meraglim are described as being sent Latur et Haaretz, the Targum Unkelus says, Yilushmat Gavraya Dishalach Moshe Le'alala Yat Ara. To search, to seek. This is a basic part of Elul. We don't know yet fully what we're seeking, but we know that it's about seeking. If we go back again to page 1 and look at Pasuk Chet again, we can see a second aspect of Elul beyond the Sheila and Bakasha. This second aspect is Ponim. L'cho amar libi bakshu fanai et ponecho Hashem avakesh. And the request, al taster ponecho mimeni. So we're seeking the Ponim of Hashem, which obviously means the personal relationship with Hashem. Ponim el Ponim. And we'll see why we use this word. Pay careful attention to everything we're learning in Tehillim, Perek Lamed Aleph, and the Davar Hashem, because it all comes from the sources in the Torah we're about to see. Point number 4. Going back one more time to that key pasuk, and it is the key pasuk of the Mizmor, Pasuk Chet. L'cha amar libi bakshu fanai et panecha Hashem avakesh. The lev. L'cha amar libi. The heart is meant to be more pronounced in Elul. The heart speaks. We know how important the heart is to tshuva. Continuing on page 2, the second parsha Satshuva, Dvarim Perek Lamed, it says, V'haya ki yavo alecha kol ha'dvarim ha'ela ha'brocha v'akla l'shenatati lefanecha v'hashevota el levavecha v'chalagayim v'shardich Hashem lecha v'shafta ad Hashem elokecha. Most people don't realize that tshuva begins from the Torah. Forget Chazal, forget any future Pirush. The Torah explains that tshuva begins with a return to one's heart. Not with God, with oneself. In fact, as we'll see later, a tshuva that does not begin with a true return to oneself is a tshuva of deception. Words of Rav Kook based on Sefer Yeshayahu. Even if we don't intend to deceive, we're deceiving ourselves. The lev is where tshuva begins. In fact, Pasuk Vav, the next stage of tshuva after we return to God is, U'mol Hashem Elokecha levavcha v'et levav zarecha le'ava Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha. After we return to our heart, God has a second stage of Mila on the heart. We'll have to see what that means as well. Pasuk Yud summarizes the parasha, Ki tishma b'kol Hashem Elokecha, toshuv el Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcho b'chol nafshecha. In fact, tshuva's focus on the heart is the basis of the famous pirish of the Ramban for the next psukim. The next psukim, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ki ha-mitzvah azot, asher anochi mitzavcha hayom lo nefleiti mimcha v'lo rechokahi, the mitzvah is not above or beyond you, right? Lo me'ever layam, lo b'shamayim. What mitzvah is Moshe referring to? So Chazal say, the Torah and mitzvahs in general. The Ramban has a different explanation. A, because it's singular, ha-mitzvah hazot, and B, because of Pasuk Yud Dalet, ki koro ve'lecha ha-dover ma'od, beficha u'bilvavcha la'asoto. The mitzvah are not bilvavcha. Why is the lev being focused on, says the Ramban? It's referring to tshuva here. Mitzvah Zod is referring to tshuva. Tshuva is not above and beyond us. Tshuva begins in the heart. If we continue on page 3, by going back to Perek Dalet, the first parsha of tshuva, we see it there too. V'kashna misham es Hashem Elokecha, u'matzata ki tidrishenu b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha. After returning to the heart, we're meant to seek God with the heart, and then God helps us develop our heart. U'mal Hashem Elokecha et levavcha v'et levav zarecha. So going back to our pasuk on page 1 again, Lecha amar libi, bakshu fanai. It starts in the heart. If we look at this pasuk, unless you're familiar with Rashi, it's very hard to understand what the pasuk means. Let's read it together. You can look inside again on page 1 if you want, or by heart. Lecha amar libi, bakshu fanai. Who is the heart speaking to? Lecha amar libi, bakshu fanai. Continuation of the pasuk, Espanecha Hashem Avakesh. Who is the heart speaking to? Rashi, third source on page 3. Lecha amar libi bakshu fanai, bishvilcha, bishlichutcha. Rashi unlocks this pasuk and explains to us that our heart speaks to us as an agent of God about God. Our heart calls out to us to seek God. Lecha amar libi. On your behalf, my heart speaks to me and says, Bakshu fanai. Seek me. The response is meant to be, Et panecha Hashem avakesh. To answer the call of the heart is the agents of God. All this is the backdrop to the famous idea we find in the Mishnah Berurah based on earlier sources, who explains that the basis of Elul in the Pasuk is Ani Ladodi Vidodi Li. Or the way the Mishnah Berurah explains it, the goal during these days is Liot Libo Korov El Dodo B'tshuva V'az Dodo Korov Lo L'kabel Tshuvato Me'ahava. As opposed to the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, which are about fixing things, Elul is about reaffirming the relationship, coming closer to one another. Our seeking, our heart seeking to reconnect with Hashem. You don't find fixing things in Elo. It's mutter to fix things. And obviously if you care about a relationship, you want to fix things that make the relationship stronger. But at the core, it's the heart calling us to seek closeness again. And I think all this can help us understand the second minhag that we have in Elul, and how it fits in very powerfully. But just before we move on, I want to mention that the Mishnah Berurah also references another pasuk about tshuva that we'll get back to, also connected to the heart. What's the other Rosh HaTevas the Mishnah Berurah mentions? Umal Hashem Elokecha et levavcha v'et levav zarecha. So again, heart, what's the second stage? We'll get back to it. But let's look now at the second minhag. I reprinted here the Shulchan Aruch because the minhag of shofar is really where Elul distinguishes itself from the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. What do I mean? After Shulchan Aruch talks about his continuum, the Ramah says in the second line, "Uminhag b'nei Ashkenaz eino kein, ela mei rosh chodesh ve'elech matchilin litkoa achar tefila shachris." We blow the shofar. Why do we blow the shofar? The Mishnah Berurah says, because that's when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the luchot. But we do it differently than they did it at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because when Moshe went up, they blew the shofar from Rosh Chodesh Elul straight through Yom Kippur for 40 days. Do we blow the shofar straight through Yom Kippur? The Rokeach, by the way, says you do. But that's not what we do. The Torah says we blow it just during the month of Elul. And it's not to let people know how many days it is so they shouldn't make a mistake like the Chet HaEgel, but Kedei Lahazir Yisrael Sheyasu Tshuva. It's a call for tshuva. Obviously, the question is, what is the nature of that call for tshuva of the shofar? Because again, it's not the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. And just to remind us, in the bottom of page 3, we have the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Chet. The Rambam codifies in Hilchos Tshuva Perek Bet about the uniqueness of those 10 days, which are the days between Yom Kippur and Yom Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, where Yachid can do tshuva and where tshuva is most appropriate. Not Chodesh El. What is the call for tshuva of the shofar during these 30 days? And how does it connect to this bigger picture of what we say in the Dovid Hashem? So I believe the answer to all this, we started with the Menhagim, and now I'll try and show you where it comes from, is learning, looking at page 5, at the source in the Torah for tshuva. The first time tshuva is done. We learn from that source what chet means, and we learn from that source how to fix it. And of course, the first national sin, the chet ha'egel, which culminates with the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim, which Hashem defines as Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Yud, Vayomer Hine Anuchi Koreit Brit. I'm making a covenant now after sin. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Zayin, tells us how important these Yud Gimel Midot are. Number one, Hashem Hashem means that God is still there for us for a relationship even after we've sinned. Kel Rachum V'chanun, says Rav Yehuda, Brit Kruta L'Shloshes Rei Midos Shein and Chozos Rekam. There's a covenant about these Midos that they don't come back empty-handed. So this is very powerful and meaningful, but in order to appreciate it, I think we have to go back and learn what led to it. Let's start with the first Luchot, with the Aseret HaDibrot. The first of the Dibrot, as we know, is Anochi Hashem Elokecha. The implication of that is the Isser of Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is, on the most personal level, a statement of distance from God. Look at Pasuk Gimel together with me. Lo yelecha Elohim acherim al panai. Serving another God is a way of turning away from the personal relationship with Hashem. And the implication, Pasuk Hey, is lo tishtachavadam velo ta'avdeim ki anochi Hashem Elokecha, a repeat now as the explanation of kel kana poked avon avot al banim al shileshim ve'al ribeim lesonoi. Avodah Zarah generates what we call midas hadin. There's Avodah Zarah, there's distance, there's destruction. And that's God's response to the Chet HaEgel. Let's take a look at Perek Lamed Bet now, Pasuk Zayin. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe, lech red, go down from Har Sinai. Ki shichet amcha asher he leito me'eretz Mitzrayim. What you hear in this Pasuk is God distancing himself from the Jewish people because they distance themselves from him. When a person sins, for sure Avodah Zarah, but not just, they're stepping away from God. They're asserting their independence. And God views us the same way. It's not just the impending doom. It's the distance. And you see in Moshe's response that he's addressing this exact point. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayichal Moshe et pnei Hashem Elokav. He's looking for that personal. And again, God is described as Moshe's God because he's not exactly the Jewish people's God anymore. Meaning he is, but isn't. Vayomer lama Hashem yechere apcha ba'amecha asher hotzeitam eretz Mitzrayim. They're your people. In fact, Moshe brings two proofs. Number one, what are the Egyptians going to think about what you did to your people? That's how the world sees them. Even if you decide to walk away, last word in Pasuk Yud Bet. Shuv mecharon apecha v'yinachem al hara'a li'amecha. And remember Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, you had a relationship with them with a promise. These are their children. It doesn't matter. They're your people. You can't walk away. Pasuk Yud Dalet, Vayinochem Hashem al hara'a asher diber la'asot. That last word is the most important word. Le'amo. This idea is expressed in a very beautiful Gemara in Shabbos Daf Pei Tet Amud Bet, which is going to leave you with more questions than answers, but you'll see the idea. The Gemara there says that in the end of days, Hashem comes to Avram and says, the Jewish people, your children have sinned. Third line, latid lavo yomelo kadosh baruch hu le'avram banecha chatuli. And Avram says, well, if they've sinned, you should destroy them. Hashem then goes to Yaakov. He thinks he'll care about them because of all he had to invest in raising all of his children. And says, banecha chatuli, your children have sinned to me. And Yaakov says, destroy them. not having any other choice, Hashem goes to Yitzchak, says, Banecha Chatuli. And Yitzchak responds, bottom of page 5, Banai velo Banecha. Are they my children or not yours? Weren't you the one who said, B'ni B'chori Yisrael, when they accepted the Torah? And now all of a sudden you're distancing yourself from them. The question is, when the Jewish people sin, does the relationship continue? And who, of course, learned this the hard way? Which one of the prophets? Anyone? Hosea. For those who know Sefer Hosea, Hashem tells him to marry a prostitute and have children from her. The Gemara explains the backdrop. Hosea said, the Jews are sinners. Change them into another people. Hashem says, that's the way you relate to your children. Suddenly Hashem is on the defensive side, right? And he has Hosea marry this prostitute and have children. And then he says, get rid of her. She's not loyal to you. And he goes, they're my children. This is my wife. And Hashem says, that's the lesson. The relationship is immutable. It's long term. But this is where we learn about how to restore the relationship. And let's continue on page 6. Even though Moshe achieves a stay of execution, the distance is still there. How do we know? Perek Lamed Gimel Vayedavar Hashem El Moshe. Lecha le'mizeh atov ha'am asher ha'alita me'eretz Mitzrayim. Go, leave here, you and the people you took out of Egypt. We're hearing that again. In Pasuk Bet, Hashem says, V'shalachti lefanecha malach. I'll send an angel to lead you, but I'm not going with you. God isn't destroying the Jewish people, but he doesn't feel. He may have forgiven them, but the relationship is frayed. Sin is not just about forgiveness. It's about a relationship. It's about a closeness. Any relationship is about a closeness. When the Jewish people hear this in Pasuk Dalet, even though they hear that they're moving on to Eretz Yisrael, it says they mourned, and their crowns, they didn't feel the same way. And the question is, can this gap be bridged? An expression of the distance we see in Pasuk Zayin, where it says, Moshe took his tent, put it outside the Machaneh, far from it, and called it the Ohel Moed. The Ohel Moed was supposed to be a tent inside the Jewish people where God's presence resided. But now Moshe, the only one who wasn't involved, in order to communicate with God, has to move his tent outside the camp. In fact, interestingly, Pasuk Yud Aleph, for the first time, we're told here about how God speaks to Moshe, Panim El Panim. The personal relationship exists, but only with Moshe as a contrast. Can it be restored with the Jewish people? Here we have a powerful phrase back in Pasuk Zayin when we're told that Moshe has to take his tent out of the camp. We're told, V'haya kol mivakesh Hashem, Yetzei alo moed Hashem yichutz lamachaneh. There are people who are seeking God, who are seeking the relationship. This seeking is a condition for any rapprochement, for any repairing of the damage, for any forgiveness. Sin distances us from God. Before we talk about being mamlech, melech, machem, lochem, and fixing ourselves, first we have to bridge the distance. We have to decide that we care about the distance we've caused in our relationship. And let's see beautifully what happens in the next psukim, which really help us appreciate who Moshe Rabbeinu was on behalf of Klal Yisrael from the very beginning, when he identified with their pain and took their loads on his back straight through all of his leadership years. Pasuk Yud Bet, it says, Moshe says to Hashem, you're telling me to take the people away from here, but I don't know how to lead them. Show me your way. Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'yata em na matzati chen be'enecha hodieni na et rechacha ve'adeacha. Leman em tzachein be'enecha. Ure'ei. Ki amcha hagoy hazeh. Hashem says, Panai elechu v'anichosi lach. Moshe wants reassurance. Emein panecha olchim al ta'alenu mizeh. How can I know that I have found favor in your eyes? Ani v'amecha. It's a package that you want me, it's the people. Halo belechtecha imanu v'niflinu. Ani v'amcha. Mikol ha'masher al pnei ha'adama. Hashem says to Moshe, I'll do this for you as well. I'm going to show you my glory. Look carefully at Pasuk Yutet. Vayomer ani avir kol tuvi al panecha. I'm going to pass my goodness before you personally. V'karasi b'shem Hashem lifanecha. And I'll call out in the name of God before you. V'chanoti et asher achon v'richamti et asher arachem. And there'll be mercy now for people. Rachum v'chanun. Hashem here in Pasuk Yutet talks about how he will do something. When does he do it? This pasuk that we just read is critical for understanding Perek Lamed Dalet and the story of the second Luchot. The story of the second Luchot in Perek Lamed Dalet is not just about new stones and finding a way to pass on the information. The context of the second Luchot is God redefining his relationship with the Jewish people and opening the door for tshuva. Perek Lamedalid, Moshe fashions the luchot, goes up on the mountain. God comes down to meet him, Pasuk Hey. Vayered Hashem Be'anan Ve'itetzevi Mosham. And we know how important this Pasuk is. And the fact that we say it as part of our recitation of the Yud Gimel recital, the Yud Gimel Midos. By the way, Parshas Nitzavim, always the Parsha we start saying Slichot, connects deeply to Vayered Hashem Be'anan Ve'itetzev Imo Sham. If we want God to stand with us, we have to first stand ourselves. Vayikra V'Shem Hashem. Remember Pasuk Yutet. Karati b'shem Hashem lefanecha, v'yikra b'shem Hashem, v'yavra Hashem al panav, ani avir kol tuvi al panecha, v'yikra Hashem Hashem, kel rachum v'chanun v'chanoti et asher achon v'richanti et asher rachem. Here God defines himself differently than he did the first time around with the first luchot. How did God define himself the first time? Anochi Hashem elokecha, anyone remembers? Kel kano, poked avon avot al banim. Al shileshim v'al ribeim. That's what Chazal call midas hadin. Here, Hashem opens the door for mercy, for going the extra mile, for caring even when we don't deserve it. For rachum v'chanun. For Hashem, Hashem, even after the chet. For a relationship even when we don't deserve it. This is the background that the David Hashem Ori V'Yishi is speaking about. Bakshufanai, seeking God, kol mevakesh Hashem. It's built off the model of what we know of from the desert, from the Chet HaEgel, about the possibility of coming back to God afterwards. And here we need to talk a little bit about how we come back to God and what tshuva is. Tshuva is, of course, a concept that we don't fully understand if we truly appreciate sin. It's kind of like nechama. Most people have no problem identifying with Shabbos Nachamu because we don't feel the pain of the Churban enough. A person who feels the pain of the Churban has a hard time being consoled. If a person doesn't really feel a loss with the Churban, so then consolation is easy. If a person truly appreciates the severity and distance that sin creates, it's really hard to understand how tshuva can work. And the Gemara expresses this in the bottom of page 6 in the Yerushalmi in Maseches Makos, where the midot of Chachma and Nevuah are asked about the fate of sinners. And both of them talk about how a sinner is damned. The endless cycle of suffering that sin generates. Only on the third line, when Hashem is asked about the fate of a sinner, does he say he can do tshuva and achieve kapara. It's a chiddush that comes from Hashem. Not something that makes sense on its own. Not something that we could have anticipated on our own. But the question is how? Even if it's a chiddush, how does it work? If you look at the top of page 7, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah speaks about the four things that can be mekarea, gzardino, shel adam. Some are understandable. Tzedakah obviously is significant. A Jew only parts with money if they really feel something is significant. Tzedakah, a person cries over what they've done wrong. But the most interesting facet that's mentioned here is shinui Hashem. A person changes their name. The Rambam explains the significance of this second source on page 7. Mishana shmo klomar, ani acher, ve'eni oso ha'isha asa osa namasim. I'm a different person. I'm not the one who did this. And obviously, there's a major question here. What is this, the witness protection program? Or a person who goes to Israel and changes their name from Jack to Yaakov? I'm not Jack, I'm Yaakov. I didn't do these things. What are we missing here? So I always like to speak about this from the lens of the Bala Tanya, who really wrote his Sefer about this. People don't really realize this, but it's really about exactly this question. Just to put it into perspective, let's revisit the psukim from Dvarik Perek Lamed, which speak about the mitzvah azot, not being b'shamayim or me'ever layam, but very close to us, b'ficho u'bilvavcha la'asoto. The Gemara in Erev and Daf Nun Dalet, Reb Yitzchak there, reads this pasuk very carefully with a sharp knife. He says, karo ve'lecha, when we approach it, b'ficho u'bilvavcha. Ematai karo ve'lecha, bizman she'b'ficho u'bilvavcha la'asoto. When we approach it properly. What does it mean to do tshuva through the pen, lev? What is L'David Hashem speaking about when it identifies the lev as the inspiration for tshuva? So if you look at the Sefer HaTanya, the Amud Hashar, you know, old Svarim used to be written with a gateway. The old Gemaras today, they don't always print it that way, but it had a gateway where the Sefer defined itself. The Sefer HaTanya, he writes there, Sefer Likutei Amarim, which is what he called it, Hanikra b'shem Sefer Shel Beinonim. That's another name that he gave for it, the Sefer of Beinonim. He meant it as a Sefer addressed to regular people. Melukat misiv svarim pisofim kedoshe elyon meyusad al pasuk ki karv alecha adavr mod beficho belvav chalasota. Based on this pasuk. And then he explains, Levayer Hetev, to explain well, Echu Karov Ma'od, how it's very close to us. Biderech Arucha Uktzara, in a long, short way. The Baal Tanya never comes back to explain what this means. But it's clearly important to him. Rav Steinsaltz, when he wrote his Pirush and translation of the Sefer HaTanya, he called it the long, short way. This is why. And I believe that the Baal HaTanya was relating to a Gemara that he believes, not coincidentally, appears right before the Gemara in Erev and Daf Nandal that we just saw. The Gemara that tells the story of Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya said, in all my days I was never beaten, with the exception of a woman, a boy, a young boy, and a young girl. And he tells the stories about how these three people had got the better of him. What did the young boy do? He said, once I was on the road, and I got to a crossroads, and I saw a little boy there, and I said to him, which way should I go to get to the city? He said, this is the short, long way. This is the long, short way. Which way would you go? Rabbi Shua ben Hananya said, I went the short, long way. And indeed, it was very short. I got to the city very quickly, but they were doing construction. I couldn't get in. I went back to the crossroads. I said to the boy, you told me it's the short way. He goes, I told you it's the short, long way. You get there very quickly, but then you have to go around. It's very long. Rabbi Shua ben Hananya's response was, he kissed the boy on the head and said, Ashrechem Yisrael, you're all very wise. Sure, there could have been like a double entendre there. You're all very wise. In any case, you read this story, you're like, it's a cute story. What does it have to do with anything? The Baal Tanya said, if it's in the Gemara, it must have something to teach us. And it's right before, Beficha u'bilvavcha. Says the Baal Tanya, there's two ways to do tshuva. There's a long, short way and the short, long way. And very often people take the short, long way because we're always looking for shortcuts. But the short way ultimately is the long way. And he explains, in Siman Aleph, not this point, but in general, that the root of tshuva has to do not with action, but with identity. If you take a look at the Gemara in Brachos Daf Samech Aleph Amud Bet, the Gemara there, let's start with the last line, Rava, the Gemara says about Rava that he never stopped learning, Lo Pasak Puma Megirsa. Rava said about himself, Kigon Anu Benonim. People like us are Benonim. Abaya said back to him, Lo Shavik Mar Chayel Chol Beria. You don't leave any room for anybody else. If you're a Benoni, what are we all? And I'm sure we've all had this experience feeling we're more or less okay. You know, we daven on time 51% of the time, and we do the right thing more or less most of the time. And you feel pretty confident. And then you come in for a Shoshone Yom Kippur, and maybe you're davening someplace special. I know for myself, seeing great Gedolei Torah, very holy spiritual people crying and bawling on Rosh Hashanah. And I was thinking to myself, what are they doing at home that they're so worried about their fate? I'm saying, you know, and if they're crying, then what am I missing here as far as what should I be thinking? This is really the source, that Rava thought he was a Benoni. What's the explanation? So the Baal HaTanya explains, based on the beginning of that Gemara, where Rav Yossi Aglili defines Tzaddik, Rasha, and Benoni. And he says a Tzaddik is someone who Yetzer Tov Shofto. He's dominated by seeking good. The only emotion, the only mission he has is good. The Rasha, say Yetzirah Shofta. A Rasha is someone who is motivated only by bad. Beinonim, Zevzeh Shoftan. A Beinoni is a person who has both kinds of emotions, both kinds of drives. All of us, we're torn between wanting what's right and sometimes sadly wanting what's wrong. And even if the want for wrong never expresses itself, halavai, it's still there. It's still part of our identity. What God cares most about, obviously, is not the scorecard of how many times we may have struck out or on base percentage. What God cares about is who we are and who we want to be. Obviously, our actions are an expression of that. But the real core is deciding who we really are and what we really identify with. The Baal HaTanya in Siman Aleph talks about the stiras and gemaras about tzaddik v'ralo, rasha v'tovlo. A person can be a tzaddik and have a ra within him. A person can be a Rasha and have a lot of good within him. The question is, which side of our identity do we take most seriously? Shinui Hashem is where a person decides to strongly identify with one part of themselves instead of other parts of themselves. They say, I may have done those things, but it's not really me. It's not the me that I stand by. It's not the me that I identify with. And I think if we turn over to page 8, we can now understand the whole package of minhagim that we have in Elul. As we know, on Rosh Hashanah, we blow the shofar for two reasons. I hope that we know. One reason is we use it to speak to God, to influence God, to remind him of Akedat Yitzchak. This is not a time to speak about Rosh Hashanah, but somehow when we blow the shofar, it impacts God. The other reason we blow the shofar, as the Ramban tells us on the top of page 8, is to awaken ourselves. Both of them are called Zikaron, Zichron, Trua, the memory of God, our own memory of things. Just not to leave it open-ending, I'll say, God obviously doesn't forget things, but God's memory in relation to us depends on our memory of what's important to us. We are able to remind God of things. We are able to get God to identify things with us based on ourselves remembering and identifying with things. But in any case, the shofar has these two aspects, and let's remind ourselves of the words of the Rambam, who says, the remez of shofar is Uri Yesheni Mishenatchem. Think about yourself. Reflect on your actions in your life. Third line. Ela hashochachim et ha'emet b'havle hazman. People who forget the truth through the meaninglessnesses of time. V'shogin kol shnatam behevel v'rikash eloyo v'lo yatzil. The Rambam says the shofar is not calling to people who are so far that they no longer share the ideals of what's right. They won't hear the shofar or appreciate the shofar. The shofar is meant to awaken people who know what's right and know what they stand for. But we just get listless, lackluster, we fall asleep. We get used to reality and living in norms, and we don't reflect on what we're doing and what we're about and what we're aiming at. This aspect of the shofar is the Chodesh Elul aspect. We blow the shofar, we hear the shofar, and we're meant to respond with the David Hashem. The shofar is a call to the heart, right? To wake up from our sleep, v'chipsu b'maaseichem. The shofar blows, a person hears something, the heart calls out in response. The shofar wakes up the heart calls out to us, the question is whether we answer. The question is whether we remember to identify with this Sheila Bakasha. The question is whether we answer the Lecha Amar Libi Bakshu Fanai with the response of Et Ponecha Hashem Avakesh. We're not thinking yet about being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. We're not thinking yet about what we need to fix in our lives. We're just deciding whether to wake up and seek God in a stronger way. Rav Nachman Mibreslev writes in a number of places based on this Rashi, Lecha Amar Libi, that ultimately the place where we find the most godliness in this world is in our heart, in our soul. God calls to us from the soul. The question is whether we can reconnect with that call. And the Divrei Hashem Mamish, says Rav Nachman, the Lev Tor Barali Elokim, to reconnect with our heart in the purest state. Rav Kook has a number of very powerful pieces where he speaks about the concept of tshuva being a rediscovery of self. He has a piece with that imprint here, very powerful piece, where he talks about Hashem calling out to Adam after he sinned. And he calls out and says, Ayeka. And Adam says, I'm hiding. Why am I hiding? And obviously Hashem knew where he was. Why is he calling out to him? And Rav Kook says, for Adam to realize, where is he? Where was he before, proud, comfortable with his own identity? Where is he now, hiding and embarrassed? Ayeka. Says Rav Kook, the sad sight of man who can't answer the question of where he is, because he's lost sight of himself. He says, chet is not when we lose sight of God, it's when we lose sight of our true reality, of who we're truly created to be. Says Rav Kook here in Orot HaTshuvah, Perek Tetvav, kisheshochachim et mehut ha'neshama ha'atzmit, when we forget the essence of our powerful, independent soul, kishemesichim de'ami listakel b'tochiyut ha'chayim ha'pnimiyim shel atzmo, when we lose the ability, when we get distracted from noticing the true essential life of ourselves, I call nasem u'urbavu misupak, everything becomes confused, becomes blurry. Tshuva Rishit, the initial moment of tshuva that lights up the darkness, is sheyashuv ha'adam el atzmo, for a person to return to himself, el shoresh nishmaso, to the core root of his soul, umiyad yashuv el elokim el nishmas kol nishamos, and immediately, inevitably, as a continued natural outgrowth, is the return to Hashem. He says in the next paragraph, if we don't return to ourselves first, it's a tshuva of remia, shetisa al yedei zeh shem Hashem lashav, that uses God's name in vain. Elul is really the core of where tshuva begins, in the heart. The heart calls, and hopefully we answer the call of the heart by looking for a stronger relationship with God, by believing that that should be, that that's who we want to be, the core of our identity. To connect to that side of ourselves, emphasize it, and decide that we want it to be more important in our lives. The Ramban explains that this is what Milas Halev means. Everyone has this dichotomy inside themselves. The drive for good, the drive for bad. The Ramban says after we decide what we want to identify with, we can turn to God and ask Him to change that balance, to help us be able to feel more the motivation for good as opposed to chas v'shalom, the alternative. Umol Hashem Elokecha es levavcha, tiyeh habechira betov lahem teva, that the choice for good should be natural. Lo yit'av lahem halev l'ma she'enu roi, the heart shouldn't desire the wrong things. V'lo yachvot boklal v'hi hamila haniskeret kan, ki achemde v'hatava orlas halev. Rav Nachman builds off this Ramban, and he speaks about on the bottom of page 8, that this is what taharas halev means. When we reinforce doing the right things, wanting the right things, with Hashem's help, we can change the balance of our own hearts so that we can want more what's right and want less what's not right. It starts with our taking stock and deciding which parts of ourselves from the past year and years do we see as the true essence of ourselves, and which part do we see as just an aberration, not truly expressive. I want to conclude now with two last points. The first is how all this sets the tone for the Yomim Noraim. As we know, the night of Rosh Hashanah, the davening is more or less like a regular davening, like a regular Maariv. Obviously, Shemoneh Esrei talks about Rosh Hashanah. Fine. After davening, each night of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we say one Mizmor. The Mizmor is LeDavid Mizmor LaShem Haaretz U'Mlo'ah, and it's said with great reflection and depth and a special tune. If during Elul we have LeDavid Hashem Ori V'Yishu, which continues with us, on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur we have LeDavid Mizmor. As we know, we say this Mizmor three circumstances. Yom Rishon, because of the first Psukim. When we return the Torah, Sushar Mashechem, and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The middle part is what Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is about. We ask a question. Mi Yalev Harashem? Mi Yakum Bimkom Kodesho? Who is appropriate to approach God? And of course, we speak about having the right midot, being an honest, truthful person. And we summarize all this in Pasuk Vav. Ze dor dorshav, mivakshe fanecha Yaakov Sela. What really is most important is what we seek. The question is, when we stand before God on the first night of Rosh Hashanah, are we people who can be described as mivakshe fanecha? V'hoya kol mivakesh Hashem. Interestingly, it appears in the context of sin. People in response to the Egel. And throughout Elul, L'cha amar libi bakshu fanai, with the response being as panecha Hashem avakesh. If we spend Elul caring more about our relationship with God, liod libo karov el dodo b'tshuva, saying the pasuk of es panecha Hashem avakesh in a more heartfelt way, thinking about how we want to be closer with God, how the relationship with God is more important to us than we may have expressed in the past year of years, then we are people who are dor dorshav, who are mevakshe fonecha. And what's interesting is that the last part of the Mizmor asks a parallel question about God. The question about us is, Mi Ya'aleh B'Har Hashem? And the question about God is, Mi Zeh Melech HaKavod V'Yavo Melech HaKavod? The Ya'aleh V'Yavo of this Mizmor describes man raising himself up to meet God who comes to meet him. The Ya'aleh V'Yavo. Mi Ya'aleh V'Mi Yavo. And this obviously is the backdrop for the tefillah we talk about on the regalim, about the time when we're meant to meet Hashem, on the moadim, the moadei Hashem. The tefillah of Ya'aleh V'Yavo, which was a tefillah written for Rosh Hashanah. How do you know it's a tefillah written for Rosh Hashanah? The key phrase, theme of Ya'aleh V'Yavo is Zikaron. The Yom HaZikaron. V'yizocher zichroneinu v'zichron avoteinu v'zichron Mashiach v'zichron Yerushalayim v'zichron kol amcha lifonecha. Zachreinu Hashem Elokeinu b'aletov v'fakdeinu, another very important Rosh Hashanah word. Chus v'chaneinu v'rachem aleinu v'oshiyenu ki elecho einenu. We take advantage of the fact that we know that God is merciful. God doesn't want us to be damned. God doesn't want us to be lost. God wants us to have a relationship with Him. That opens the door. The question is whether we want it. I can only say that for me, saying this Mizmor, and I daven one night of Rosh Hashanah for the Amud, looking at the Har HaBayis, Mi Ya'aleh V'Har Hashem, and thinking about how much God has given us over the past century and how much more we're looking forward to, our ancestors had so much less reason to believe than we do. We have received so much. And thinking about Mi Ya'aleh V'Har Hashem in the actual real sense of whether we're roi, of whether we're seeking the right things. So I believe that the Ledavid Hashem with the shofar, the Ledavid Hashem in response to the shofar, is about a reawakening and a call for the right direction. The second point, just to conclude, is to mention some of the basic sources about Elul. The first is Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah writes, Mishenichnas Elul, clearly building off the formulation of the Mishnah about Av and Ador. Mishenichnas Elul, Ad Matzei Yom Kippurim, Yehei Yarei V'Chored Me'em Asadin. We all know the stories, how they said in Europe, the fish would shake, and the walls would shake, and everyone would shake. On Friday night, the Rosh Yeshiva, we have a kumzitz at the Kotel, he told the story about Rav Shalom Shvadron. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He was one of the people who went with Mir in Shanghai. So before the Mir left Poland, on their trip to Shanghai, nobody knew what was going to happen. They gathered in the Beis Medrash to say Tehillim. And you can imagine the way people were davening and crying, and really, people didn't know what was going to happen. He said, as they were davening, an artillery shell went whizzing by very, very sharply, right by where they were davening, and they all heard it. And it's a terrifying feeling, if anyone's ever heard something like that go. Then another one went by. He said, the fear in the Beis Medrash was almost like Elul. That's where Rav Shalom told the story. People had a sense of the fact that they were standing before Hashem. There's a lot of discussion. If you look on social media, what is this Elul? We don't find it in this. We don't find it in this. And we know that our Mesorah is how the Jewish people relate to Judaism and hand it over to us. And we treasure everything that's part of our Mesorah. But it's natural that Elul will be a time where people are reflective. If you know that you're about to stand before such a major moment of identity, the Yarei V'Chared Me'em HaSadin is not because someone tells you you have to be. It's because I always say, I don't think the first people who said Hashamnu Bagadnu and banged on their hearts, I don't think it said in their Machzor bang. What probably happened was, people saying Hashamnu, they felt bad. They felt bad, they went like this. So it makes sense that people should do that, but you don't do that because it says in the Machzor. Person goes like this and goes like this and goes like this and goes like this. Maybe there's some meaning because you're showing that it's meant to hurt you. But ideally it should be it hurts you. And so you go like this. And the same way here, a person shouldn't be afraid in Elul because the Shari Tshuva says he should be afraid. Right? A person should be afraid because they understand that they have what they haven't lived up to and they should begin reflecting for themselves. A second point about Elul from the Shari Tshuva based on the Medrash, he says it gives a very interesting story that the Medrash tells about a bunch of thieves who were imprisoned. And one day, a bunch of the thieves dug their way out of prison. And there's one who stayed behind. The next morning, the king came and he sees this one person left. He says, "You fool! Everyone ran away. Why didn't you go with them?" The nimshal they give is, when people have an opportunity, you're expected to take advantage of it. Shari Tshuva writes, "Da ki hachote kasher yis acher lashuv mechataso, yichpar alav ma'od ancho b'chol yom." When we have the opportunity and we delay, the moments where the atmosphere is one that should encourage us to go in the right direction, and we don't take advantage of it, is much more severe than times where the atmosphere is lacking. El is the time where people should begin the reflection, even if not tshuva in the Aser Shemei Tshuva sense, but in the reflective sense. And I'll conclude with a powerful masha of the Magid Midufna. When many of us grew up, we used to hear these mishalim. I don't know if they're as popular anymore, but he has such a witty, powerful way of saying things. He tells a story about a businessman who does his cheshbonos at the end of the quarter, and he sees that he's in bad shape and the business is going to go bankrupt. Unless he does something drastic, he needs a major loan. So he knows there's a gvir in the town who is very kind, and he gives out loans, and he knows he's got to go and get a loan from him. So he goes to the home of the gvir, knocks on the door, and the assistant comes to the door and says, "I'm sorry, he's busy right now, he can't see you." Okay, so he waits outside, and he walks around pacing and nervous, and he's waiting. A few hours later, he knocks again, and he says, "I'm sorry, he's not available, I can't see you." Continues. Finally, the guy is leaving his house on the way to Mincha. So on the way to Mincha, he comes to him. He says, "Look, this is my situation. I need a loan. I'll pay it back. I promise, but here's my situation." The guy says, "Besimcha, I'll be happy to give you a loan." So one of the other people in shul sees this story, comes over. He says, "Hey, you know, I also need a loan. But sorry, I don't have any money to give." So the second guy says, "Wait a second. This other guy, he asks you for a loan. You're very generous with him. Now all of a sudden you have no money to give?" The gvir answered and he said, "This guy's been waiting outside my house for a day and a half, waiting to ask me for a loan. He clearly needs it." He goes, you happen to see they're giving away free loans. You figured you might as well take one too. And the nimshal is obvious. People who spend their elul trying to think about how they can be better people, thinking about how they value their relationship with God and how they want to emphasize it in a more strong way. When you come to Rosh Hashanah, even if we haven't been as successful as we want, at least we've shown how much we care. El is the time where we show how much we care, where we prepare ourselves for Rosh Hashanah properly. And at least, even if we can't be successful, we should at least show how much we care. Very wise Rabbi in Yerushalayim once told me, a person should feel bad about sin. Maybe we're not on the level where we feel bad about sin. At least we should feel bad about the fact that we don't feel bad about sin. And then he looked at me and said, "And you know, if we don't feel bad about the fact that we don't feel bad, at least we should feel bad about the fact that we don't feel bad about not feeling bad." And the point is trying to tap into the fact that we care and should care more. That's where everything begins. A person who starts on Rosh Hashanah, it's too late to get it all in. A person who reflects before can hopefully have a meaningful Rosh Hashanah. And I'd like to conclude with one last point. I know I said this one, but something which I've mentioned to a lot of people. We're not up to Rosh Hashanah yet, but it's very important. Anyone in business or anything else they care about, where you have problems in the business or whatever your programs are, and you put a plan in place to try and fix it, right? To try and correct it, whatever it is. So if you really care about the result, you don't just put it in place and hope for the best. You're constantly revisiting and studying it. You're looking, how is the plan working? Is it working well? Is it not working well? All of us who care between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and anyone out on a government holiday to learn definitely cares. All of us who care, we think about Rosh Hashanah, we think about Aseres Yemei, what we want to improve on. And hopefully we even put something in place. We have a challenge and we figure out, this is what I'm going to do to improve. Do we look at it between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah to see how successful we are at it? Or next Rosh Hashanah, we come back again and we say, you know, it didn't really work out very well. Let's try the same thing again. Anything we care about, we want to revisit. And what I suggest to people who really want to improve is, should make a list if you don't have it yet, of all the things in your life you'd like to improve. And in the column next to it, have a mechanism of how you're going to improve it. And every month, Yom Kippur Katan, Erev Rosh Chodesh is supposed to be a time, a mini time of reflection like Yom Kippur. Every month, come back to it, take a look. Okay, this is what I wrote a month ago. This was the problem, this is the plan. It's working, Baruch Hashem! Give yourself a pat on the back, shkoyach, keep going. Maybe you'll notice one of the things isn't working out very well. Okay, if you care, what am I going to do now? How am I going to fix it? All we have to do is use the model of things we care about improving on. And I suggest this, I have it on my own computer. It's called Chatosai Negdi Tomid, based on the Sefer Tehillim. It's a tab on my computer that's always open. So I'm constantly reminded to reflect on it. And hopefully if we do, we can become the better people we want to be. So I want to give all of us a bracha that because we care, Hashem should see how much we care and help us succeed at being the people He created us to be. And I wish everyone a Chodesh Tov and a Shana Tova. Oh, yeah. All right. All right.